The time is 8:07. Currently sunny skies and 73 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. A warm start on what looks to be a very hot Thursday. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on the program in just a few minutes, about 7.5 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow. You just heard Pat for the last 2 hours on Up North News. He pays a visit to us for a segment each Thursday. He'll be with us coming up at 8:15, going to talk about some of the headlines out there. Also, coming up in the second hour of the program, I'll be joined by Bruce Grau of the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. We're going to talk about the issue of poverty and how the issue of poverty needs to be talked about in the upcoming 2024 election cycle, including right here in the city of Wausau when it comes to the mayoral race. So again, Bruce Grau with the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign at 9:15 this morning here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, it is a warm start. It is going to be a warm day. In fact, areas just west of us here in Marathon County and south of us, in fact, are in a heat advisory. Marathon County, Wood County, and Portage County not in the heat advisory. But if you go west of us and then south of there, heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. this evening. Heat index values around 100 expected. And even though we here in central Wisconsin not under the heat advisory, make sure you still be careful. Drink plenty of fluids. Stay in an air-conditioned room. Stay out of the sun. Check up on relatives and neighbors. Young children and pets should never be left unattended in vehicles under any circumstances. And also take extra precautions if you work or spend time outside. When possible, research strenuous activities to early morning or evening. Know the signs and symptoms of heat exhaustion and heat stroke and wear lightweight and loose-fitting clothing when possible. I also mention this because there's, and I hate to start off the show on a bit of a downer, but I think it's important to, again, make sure you realize it can be dangerous out there. And also, this, I think, touches on the issue of poverty and those who are homeless in our area as well, because police have released the name of a 55-year-old woman who died after being pulled from the river in the downtown area of Wausau on Tuesday. At about 5 p.m. Tuesday, a caller reported a body in the water near the downtown area. Wausau police and fire departments responded to the call and found the woman. Fire department paramedics performed life-saving measures, but the woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Tammy Miller of Wausau, who was homeless at the time, had gone for a swim in the Wisconsin River with other people to cool off when she drowned, according to the new information released by the Wausau Police Department. Officials do not believe her death to be involved with foul play. Many people from the community used the river to swim and cool off during the summer, according to the police. Also, please note, the Open Door in downtown Wausau is maintaining morning hours. Catholic Charities is opening up. The Warming Center is a cooling center. The Salvation Army is also maintaining hours where people can come and cool off. And the Marathon County Literacy Center and the Marathon County Library are also good places to go and cool down. The police department says they have brochures on where the homeless can go for help. The department's community services officers who walk or use bicycles to get around the city are reaching out to the homeless this week to make sure they have the brochures and information on where they can go out and cool off. Again, I think that covers a couple of issues here right now. Number one, it is hot. It is maybe not as hot as some areas of the country, but it still is hot and it can still be dangerous. So please be aware that if you do it too much or go a little too far in some of your outdoor activities, it can lead to some very difficult health issues as well. And it also says, again, there are those that are homeless out there, those that are suffering. And that's, again, one reason why we are going to be talking to Bruce Grau coming up here in the next hour about the issue of poverty and the issue of those who are looking for somewhere to stay. And again, it's something that needs to be talked about during the 2024 election cycle. Well, we're going to take a quick 2-minute timeout and then come back. We will come back here in just a moment. After we take this break, we're going to talk to, from Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. We'll talk to Pat about a couple of different issues. And I got a little bit of an umbrella topic, contradictions. It's going to lead to a couple of topics I want to kind of pick the brain of Pat Kreitlow about coming up here in just a few moments. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. A warm start here in central Wisconsin. Temperature stands at 73 degrees under sunny skies. We'll have more coming up. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:15. Again, a warm start. It's going to be a hot day, as I just mentioned in the last segment. Again, if you have any outdoor activities planned, make sure you be aware that there, you know, don't overdo it. We don't have a heat advisory here in Marathon County, but heat advisory is in effect just west of us and south of us. We'll have more on the weather coming up with Jennifer Vuchiski at 9:06. But right now, we're very happy to welcome back to the program from Up North News, which you just heard for the past 2 hours here on Bow Falls Radio, host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good to talk to you again.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it's another warm one here on Lake Wissota, so we'll get back on the pontoon as soon as we're able.
Good way to be, you know, on a hot summer day. Be close to the water. But I know yesterday, last night, you were in the air-conditioned comfort of a movie theater. And when I was, you know, at my desk this morning, I have you on the radio as I'm getting ready to go on the show. And you were talking about your impressions of going with your family to see Barbie last night. And I found it very interesting how you were able to, you know, enjoy the movie, obviously, but also really, you know, impressed with the depth on some of the issues that that movie went into.
Yeah, you know, there's so many ways of, you know, a movie about Barbies could go, and it was as my one-year-old granddaughter plays with, not with the dolls, but the Matchbox cars, because again, we're breaking all the gender norms here. Anyway, we went and knew full well that it was going to be, you know, it had already been well-received, well-reviewed, and what Greta Gerwig did with the story that she told was so much deeper than anybody would have, you know, come to expect. That, yeah, there's some pretty standard messages there about empowerment and, you know, about communication and what have you, but it really got into the notion of, you know, the things that we think are messages of empowerment are sometimes also the things that end up, you know, bringing us down if we don't live up to the expectations that we feel like, you know, society gives us. In other words, if society says you can be anything, but then you don't get to be the thing that you want most, you know, are those same messages actually the thing that make you depressed and feel like a failure?
Something else that I was thinking about when you were talking about it, and you mentioned the term toxic masculinity, and also talking about how in many of the areas we have made strides over the years, but at the same time, it's very hard to ignore that this country put into the White House a man that would probably be the epitome of toxic masculinity in terms of how he is, you know, treated his role within his businesses, within his life, within his interpersonal relationships. There's... how do we put it all together with in terms how would I put it? That yes, there are more opportunities and we have a better understanding maybe of, you know, of treating each other within the proper, you know, guidelines. But then again, there's still this strain within our society that would allow us to put a guy like Donald Trump in the White House.
Well, because again, you have this, what we call toxic masculinity. Others say they still describe as a real man and, you know, somebody who is a leader, and, you know, they try to put this frame on as protector of the family and protector of values and traditions, when as often as not, those are the traits that are actually holding everybody else back so that this person can protect their own power and the fragility of their own ego as well. That's not to say there's not a place for masculinity, for strong behavior from women as well as men. But when you assume that only one direction is true, and that is the direction of, you know, a real man as leader, well, you're going to see some very bad decisions being made by some of those people who aren't nearly the benevolent leaders that the fairy tale tells you that they would always be.
Again, we're talking to Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, weekdays from 6 till 8 a.m. here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I want to kind of, I said before the break that the kind of a term that I'm going to use for our discussion is contradictions. And I think that, you know, in terms of the toxic masculinity and also the strides forward, there's a contradiction out there. And also, in recent weeks, we've been hearing a lot about either, you know, the middle or trying to find presidential candidates from a, you know, independent point of view. I want to play you a clip that former Congressman Scott Klug from Wisconsin, he was a guest on Todd Alba's show on Tuesday, talking about a new podcast that he's putting out called Lost in the Middle. But I want to play a cut from Scott Klug, and then I want to ask you a question. But here's what Scott Klug said in a short clip with Todd Alba on Tuesday.
And now we're taking a long look at an independent presidential candidacy. I just looked at two focus groups, and focus groups are where you talk to six or seven people in a room and just sort of run ideas past them, and they interact with one another. And there's a guy named Rich Thau who does great focus groups with sort of swing voters. So he did a swing voter project in Pennsylvania. They did two panels of seven voters. And the first question was, how many of you would rather see somebody else run than Biden and Trump in the next election? First group of seven, everybody's hands up. Next group of seven, everybody's hands up. Would you consider voting for an independent presidential candidate? All 14 of them raised their hand.
Wow.
That'll tell you what the mood of the country is.
I'm not going to say that he is wrong when he says about the mood of the country, but what I would like to kind of put out there to start off here, and I said it to you before I went on the air about this magic middle. There's almost what I've been hearing a lot recently is almost an equalization of those on the left and on the right, that somehow it's all equal in terms of problems and in terms of the reason why we're at the point we are. Number one, do you think there is a magic middle? Do you think that the problems that maybe we have in terms of difficulty coming together in some important issues is because of equal on both sides of the aisle?
We have a middle where we all think that we all are. We individually, we each think we're somewhere in that magic middle. And, you know, by my own definition, you know, that magic middle is a little left of center, and for others it's a little right of center, but what I consider a little left of center, other people consider, you know, it's like, oh no, you're a lefty left. And I say, no, there's plenty of people that are to the left of me that would consider me borderline Republican. So So it really is up to individual interpretation. But moreover, I think that what is being set up in that clip there is, again, I don't mean to call it a fairy tale, but the fairy tale of the third choice. We do not have a political system that allows for that. And so, yeah, of course there's a lot of people that wish they weren't having to vote for Biden or Trump, that they were the only two on the ballot. And I understand it, but I have to quickly bring it back to reality that, again, this is if Trump were to get the nomination, which is by no means certain. But whatever it is, that's the choice you're going to get. We have a binary system in this country. And if we've learned nothing, going back to John Anderson in 1980, Ralph Nader in 2000, Ross Perot, if we've learned nothing, it's that this country's system is not set up for a third party. There is no one person who is so charismatic as to be able to overcome a couple of hundred years of political infrastructure. So when it's left to Biden and Trump, it's going to be Biden, you know, in a closer race than people would like to believe. But that doesn't mean that everybody voting for Biden, you know, thinks that he's the be all and end all. They just look at that binary choice and say, well, one is working really hard to make life better for all Americans, and the other is the symbol of toxic masculinity, toxic unfettered capitalism, everything that's wrong with the political system that we need to fix in this country in order to get to that magic middle.
One other aspect of all this talk, and it seems like it's really bubbled up at a higher level the last few weeks about this no labels and the idea of some sort of third-party candidacy. I'm somebody that really focuses on issues, and I find a frustration in terms of when I hear somebody say, well, I'm not really excited about Joe Biden. And you know, people that should be, you would consider, on that part of the political spectrum. And it feels like they're not looking at issues. They're not looking at, you know, what's been accomplished. And then when you talk about this no labels or any other of these folks that are trying to bubble up support for a third way or whatever, a third party, I'm still waiting to hear what this party has. And I think we go back even a year or two. Remember when Andrew Lang split from the Democratic Party and he had a couple, I think, tough interviews where he was asked about issues and he wouldn't talk about them. Well, we have everybody can, if we just bring everybody together, we'll be able to find an answer to this. I've not heard the no label say, what is their policy on women's health care? Are they going to say, well, no, they can get a few of their things and then we'll take away a few? Or what about climate as we go through another exceptionally hot week throughout the United States of America? What is their policy on that? Or tax policy in terms of trying to close the gap between the super rich and everybody else? It feels as though, again, and the horse race analogy, instead of looking at what does this mean? What does it mean in terms of important issues? And have you heard anything from these folks about specific issues, about where they feel like either the Democratic Party is wrong or the Republican Party is wrong or the liberals are wrong or the conservatives are wrong?
No, because, again, they're embracing, I wouldn't even say they're embracing a fairy tale. I would honestly argue they're trying to monetize a fairy tale, again, of a magic middle, because rather than embrace certain core values, certain core philosophies, their main pitch is, if we could just get rid of the labels and get everybody in a room, we could talk it out. Well, look, don't get me wrong. There are 132 state legislators in Wisconsin. I don't doubt that if you grabbed any other random group of 132 people, we could probably talk things out and be more productive in some ways. But that is not the same as saying, we're going to put forward a candidate for president, for governor, for senator, or whatever, because the moment you put forward a candidate, they're going to say, what do you stand for? What will you do about taxes? What will you do about education, about climate? And if they say, well, we're going to get in a room and talk it out, nobody's going to vote for that person. So we're all big on talking things out as a group, but we elect candidates and we expect candidates to embrace a core set of values, not that they're non-negotiable, but But you have to start from someplace, and you can't just start from, well, let's talk it out.
And I guess finally, one of the things I keep an eye on is, as we get closer to the actual, start with the cycle beginning again for 2024, when you look at the President of the United States and what he's been able to accomplish in terms of issues in a very tight United States Congress, even when they had control for the first 2 years. You've run for office, you've been in office. What is the president and his advisors missing in terms of getting the word out on what I think is a very impressive legislative record as we go into 2024? Or is it just simply that there is, a sense that it's all about the R and the D for so many people?
Well, I think that's where they are from a strategy standpoint, but I am in a very, very large group of, either Democratic officials or former Democratic elected who, yet again, in the year of our Lord 2023, cannot believe that the Democratic national machinery can't do a better job of messaging the good things that they've done and the good things that are being enacted. For all the money that's in politics, I should be seen in every other commercial break right now, not next year, but right now. I should be seen in every other commercial break something about, a bridge being fixed or broadband being expanded or the cap on insulin or whatever the case may be. All of these things, the most historic legislative agenda of our time in those 2 years where Democrats had both houses of Congress. And you're seeing none of that because the strategists think, well, nobody's paying attention, so you really want to hit that near the end. No, you want to build up over time a narrative that you stood for something and you acted on it and you delivered. And the lack of that messaging now, again, that's why the strategists believe it. I think it's bunk and they should be doing a much better job right now.
I think you need a job with the... No, we like you here.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to give you off to anybody else. We like you here.
No, I've tried that. And I'm at the place where I am happiest right here in the hopes that somebody else in some position someday will hear you and hear me and go, hey, why don't we try that approach and let it work that way. But this way, I just get to have, fun with our listeners and still talk about substantive things.
Well, I'm glad you are here because I have to admit, I woke up this morning, sometimes it's half glass full, sometimes glass half empty. And I think, I had a couple of concerns and I'm glad I talked to you about it and talked about those issues. And I know that you're going to have a great weekend. Enjoy it. And then we'll get back together next week.
You got it. Thanks, sir.
Absolutely. And Pat Kreitlow, you can tune into Pat and get all sorts of great stuff each and every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And, of course, throughout the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media app as well. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to find out what's going on around the country and around the world. CBS News at the top of the hour. And then we'll have Melissa Kay back with a look at our local news with our Civic Media Bull Falls Radio news update. And then back with more. Again, coming up in the second hour, we're going to be talking about, again, a very important issue. The issue of poverty. Bruce Grau has put out an open letter to the media that he wants during the 2024 mayoral campaign to have that topic brought up more by us in the media, that we need to talk about it and ask the candidates about it. And we're going to discuss what he has been talking about with that issue and what he put into that letter. We'll talk about that coming up at 9:15. And again, don't forget, tomorrow morning, we'll have the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, and I'll be able to ask her about a few of these issues as well when she joins us in the second hour of the show tomorrow. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:32. More to come. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, and the Civic Media app. We're coming up fast on another high school sports season here in Central Wisconsin. Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still covers high school sports on a play-by-play basis. I'm Chad Holmes. I've been with WXCO for over 20 years, bringing you coverage of Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon High School sports. In order to continue the coverage of the Warriors, Cardinals, and Red Raiders at the level we have over the years, we need your support. We are looking for businesses and individuals to help support our broadcast of high school school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Please help us continue to tell the stories of our student athletes here in Central Wisconsin. To find out the different options to support our broadcast of high school sports, please give Nathan or Luis a call at 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. Again, that's Nathan or Luis at 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. Home show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have not downloaded that Civic Media app, do so because it's going to be important starting in about 3 weeks. You just heard a promo for our high school sports coverage again this season on Bow Falls Radio. Again, we are looking for sponsorship for our coverage of high school play-by-play. The only Wausau radio station still providing play-by-play of area high school sports. If you are a business owner or an individual that would be interested in learning about the packages available to help support Wausau West, Marathon, and or Newman Catholic High School Sports, you can call our Civic Media Bow Falls Radio sales team, Nathan or Luis, at 608-977-0539. 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. That's 608-354-3452. Again, give Nathan or Luis a call. They'll give you some options, give you some information, and if you're able to help with our broadcast of high school sports, it would be greatly appreciated. Cannot do it without the support of our listeners and our sponsors as we get towards the 2023-2024 high school sports season. Again, Friday night, the 18th of August, our opening night doubleheader, Wausau West taking on Superior on the road. I will have the call of that one, and Tom Weaver will have the Marathon Red Raiders in action at Stanley Boyd. Oh, no, at Rib Lake Prentice in week number one. So, looking forward to having coverage of the Warriors, the Red Raiders, and the Fighting Cardinals all season long here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. But I said get that app because on the Civic Media app, it's real simple. On the nights we have multiple games because we have our live stream, our Sports 2 stream, and our Sports 3 stream all right there. You just, pull up the Civic Media app, pull up Bow Falls Radio, then right up front, you'll be able to listen in. You'll be able to flip back and forth between maybe two or even three games on some Friday nights here on Bow Falls Radio. Weather-wise, it's going to be a hot one. Look for mostly sunny conditions, very, very warm, a high near 91, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Light south winds increasing to 5 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 64. New rainfall amounts tonight between 1 and 2 inches, so potential some significant downpours. We'll get more information on that, what it will mean with Jennifer Vuchiski from Weatherology at 9:06. Then tomorrow, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, but otherwise partly cloudy and a high near 83. And for the weekend, looking outstanding. Not only a lot of sunshine, but really moderate temperatures. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 78. Sunday, sunny and a high of 79. Right now, some sunshine and 73 degrees here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Well, Green Bay Packers fighting the heat. They're back on the practice field today. Yesterday was day number one of 2023 training camp. Quarterback Jordan Love first practice as the number one quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. It was the first of three open practices in front of the fans this week. Biggest challenge Love had on his first day of training camp was not the defense. It may have been the wind. There were very strong winds yesterday, and numerous times his balls down the sideline hung up in the air were broken up by D-backs. A number of times as well, he had wide-open receivers downfield, just missed them short. So, again, he was just trying to get a feel for things in practice number one. Also, good news as a man that's been suffering some major injury issues recent years, since a major knee injury, David Bakhtiari, all-pro for the Packers, on the field for the first practice. He will be continuing what has become the norm for his practice schedule in recent years. He'll be on a modified schedule, according to Coach Matt LaFleur. The lighter practice load began for the offensive lineman during recovery for an ACL tear, then a knee injury. So, again, they just want to try to make sure that they can get Bakhtiari on the field for the most part during the regular season games. They know that they can't overwork him when it comes to practice, and especially here on the early portion of training camp. Milwaukee Brewers back to a game and a half ahead of Cincinnati in the National League Central. Boy, what a performance yesterday by Freddy Peralta, but did not get a W in it. Peralta pitched six scoreless innings, matched a career high with 13 strikeouts, and then after he left the game, Tyrone Taylor hit a two-run homer to break up a scoreless tie, and the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Cincinnati Reds 3-0 at American Family Field yesterday afternoon. The Brewers took two of three games in the series and extend their lead in the NL Central to a game and a half over the Reds. The Brewers are 57-46. The Reds are 56-48. Also interesting to note, with still two full months left in the Major League Baseball regular season, it is the final matchup of the season between the teams. And the biggest reason the Brewers have a game and a half lead right now over Cincinnati is the Brewers dominated the Reds this year. Brewers won 10 of the 13 matchups, 10-3 for the Brewers. So, boy, if that would have been reversed, Brewers would have an uphill struggle to catch Cincinnati. So the Brewers yesterday was a tie game, 0-0 until the bottom of the seventh inning. Abraham Toro singled with one off, went with one out off of Cincinnati starter Ben Lively, and then Taylor followed with a 417-foot blast to left field on the first pitch. It was just the second home run of the season for Taylor, and he had been struggling all season long when he's been in the Milwaukee lineup, just a .153 batting average. Brewers then extended the lead on an Andrew Monasterio run-scoring double in the eighth. Peralta, meantime, was in the groove from the start. He struck out the side on 11 pitches in the first inning and whiffed the first two batters in the second before Joey Votto's single. The 13 strikeouts matched the total Peralta had in his Major League debut back in May of 2018 against the Rockies in Colorado. It was also his ninth career game, a 10 or more strikeouts in third this season. Peralta and three Brewers relievers combined for 18 strikeouts in the game. He gave up just four hits, did not walk a batter, threw 89 pitches, 60 for strikes. One thing that Peralta we'd like to see, I think, a little bit more of is go deep. Peralta has not gone more than six innings in any of his 20 starts this season. Manager Craig Counsell said he struggled with the decision to pull Peralta after six, but he said it was hot in the stadium, 4 days rest. Most of the starts have been on five, and with the guys we have in the bullpen, the big picture of the long haul is the right thing to do. And in the end, it was. I mean, I like to see the starters go deeper, but in the end, they won the game. Brewers' bullpen was outstanding. Elvis Peguero, Joel Piamps, and Devin Williams completed the shutout for the crew. Peguero got the win while Williams retired the side in order in the ninth to record his 26th save in 28 attempts. The Brewers now get a day off, but they do hit the road. Big weekend series. Last weekend, the Atlanta Braves came to Milwaukee, took two of three from the crew. This weekend, the Brewers head to Atlanta to take on the first-place team in the NL East. And tomorrow night, in the first game of the series, Adrian Hauser will get the start. Hauser, 3-2 on the season, 3.88 ERA. And when he's faced Atlanta, Hauser's not done a bad job. Only a 3.42 ERA, but in his career, Hauser has an 0-3 record against the Braves, so the Brewers not scoring a lot when Hauser's been on the mound against Atlanta. So hopefully the Brewer offense will provide Adrian Hauser with some offense tomorrow night when the crew does open up that series with the Atlanta Braves. The time is 8:47, again, coming up in hour number two. We will be continuing another interview as coming in to talk to me about the issue of poverty and what he wants to see talked about in the 2024 campaign, especially for Wausau Mayor Bruce Grau, the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. He'll be joining us at 9:15. More to come. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes back with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Talking earlier to Pat Kreitlow about why with what I'd call a very impressive list of achievements legislatively, President Biden's approval numbers aren't what they should be, that they're still not as high as when you look at unemployment, when you look at general economic numbers. Why are they not where they should be? And this morning, another example of where we kind of stand economically. This morning, the Washington Post headline, U.S. economic growth keeps defying expectations. And how many times over the past year, year and a half have we heard, oh, the recession is coming, the recession is coming, recession is coming. And it just hasn't as numbers continue to be impressive, despite the fact that the interest rates continue to be risen. Yesterday, in fact, the Fed raised interest rates. It's now higher than they've been in 22 years, but still, the economic growth, as the Washington Post says, defies expectations. 2.4% GDP growth in quarter two, beating expectations. Solid consumer spending, though slower than quarter one. Nice pickup in business investment outside of housing, slowing government spending. So again, no signs of a recession in the U.S. economy. Why do people still have negative feelings when it comes to the job that the president is doing with the economy? Well, I got a theory on this. The brain thinks things are worse than they are in many different aspects. In fact, there's been a New York Times op-ed recently from Adam Mastriani. He is an experimental psychologist and the author of the science blog Experimental History. He discussed in that op-ed the result of his and his colleagues' latest study. It focuses on people's beliefs about the state of the world, specifically how they feel about its state today as opposed to its state in the past. And the results suggest that we are way too pessimistic. And I have to admit, sometimes I get that way. But he says, we first collected 235 surveys with over 574,000 responses total and found that overwhelmingly, people believe that humans are less kind, less honest, less ethical, and less moral today than they were in the past. People have believed in this moral decline at least since pollsters started asking about it in 1949. They believe it in every single country that has ever been surveyed, 59 and counting. They believe that it's been happening their whole lives, and they believe it's still happening today. Respondents of all sorts, young and old, liberal and conservative, white and black, consistently agreed the golden age of human kindness is long gone. Then he says, we also found strong evidence that people are wrong about this decline. The wrongness of that opinion is not based on someone else substituting their judgment for the survey's respondents. It's based on specific responses from the respondents themselves. People will broadly say that the good old days were better, humanity has fallen from God's grace, and that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. But when you break down the various components of life on Earth, people's experiences with dealing with others, moral and ethical acts observed, prosperity, firsthand experience with crime and deprivation, and a host of other factors, people report things to be actually better than they've ever been. So why, then, do people still tend to believe that we're in the age of moral decline? Mastriani says, first, there's biased exposure. People predominantly encounter and pay attention to negative information about others. Mischief and misdeeds make the news and dominate our conversations. Second, there's biased memory. The negativity of negative information fades faster than the positivity of positive information. Getting dumped, for instance, hurts in the moment, but as you rationalize, reframe, and distance yourself from the memory, the sting fades. The memory of meeting your current spouse, on the other hand, probably still makes you smile. When you put these two cognitive mechanisms together, you can create an illusion of decline. Thanks to biased exposure, things look bad every day. But thanks to biased memory, when you think back to yesterday, you don't remember things being so bad. When you're standing in a wasteland but remember a wonderland, the only reasonable conclusion is that things have gotten worse. So again, basically, people are too negative. People are not understanding that in so many ways, things are better. I'm not saying things are great in every aspect, but again, there are, you know, we are not, there was not a golden age 100 years ago. As somebody that reads a lot of history, there were problems going back then, going back even further. So again, there is, of course, horrible inequality and greed in our system, but overall prosperity is greater. There are shocking acts of violence and inhumanity between human beings, so much of which is preventable, but we're actually in one of the most peaceful eras in human history in the terms of wars and the likelihood of people dying as a result of violence. And that's something, again, that we hear constantly from those on the right about, oh, crime rates, crime rates. Crime rates are down. Crime rates are down in many major cities. But people believe it when they say it. So, again, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, I think, to be negative at times, but at the same time, to be in a constant cycle that things were better in the past is not wrong. We tend not to appreciate upward trends because partially of the biases that Mastriani describes, and also partially because of how media and social media work. If you read anecdote-driven local news stories about out-of-control crime, and then see next door posts in which people talk without much in the way of specifics about how unsafe the world is, you'll tend to believe it. But our own specific experiences, when accurately reported, don't reflect those doomsday tales of moral decline and the macro numbers that all show that basically things are different than all the hand-wringing would have you believe. So again, a little bit of, I think, sunshine. Things are not as bad as you think they are. Look at the positives. Get the real information. Especially when it comes to the economy. Things are going pretty well. But that doesn't mean that we can't do more for those in need. And that's something we're going to talk about for much of the next hour as I talk to Bruce Grau, again, from the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. He wants to put poverty at the top of the list of issues to discuss in the 2024 WASA mayoral race. We'll talk about that coming up with Bruce Grau. And again, we'll talk about it as well with the mayor of WASA. We'll talk to the Honorable Mayor Katie Rosenberg tomorrow for her monthly visit. She'll be in for the second hour after 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we'll have a news update from CBS, World and National Headlines. And then Melissa Kay will be back taking a look at our area headlines from Central Wisconsin on our Bull Falls Radio Civic Media News Update as well. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa.